We need to create the next generation of humans using technology. Partly, it has already happened. Your smartphone is your memory. Your smartphone is the way to communicate with those locating on the other side of the planet. The time has come to incorporate technology inside human body and to merge humans with technology.
Welcome to the Mr. Rat Show, where I talk to the most interesting global personalities about the future of humanity.
Hello, beautiful humans. Today, I'm with Roman Axelrod, the co-founder and visionary entrepreneur behind Expansio. Expansio is a company that is building the computers of the future. And listen to this. These computers are the size of contact lenses. You can basically wear your phone on your eyes. Roman, how are you doing?
Quite fine, thank you. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm good. Thank you so much. Tell me something, Roman. Let's start with you telling me why squeezing computing into a contact lens is a good idea.
Well, you see, thing is that we don't really try to squeeze a whole computing system onto the eye. We have gathered around the idea that we create a contact lens, normal-looking, normal-feeling, soft hydrogel-made contact lens with the ability to provide you with picture, to provide you with one infinite screen that will connect all the gadgets, then to measure your biological parameters and to provide you with a night vision. Thing is that computing power itself, the place where the information is being analyzed, is not on the contact lens. It is somewhere else. We call it a companion device, a device probably size of an AirPods case that will contain the computing power and the ability to a SIM card to connect with the, to internet. That's basically the gadget we're trying to build.
So, you're building right now this computing device that is, it's the size of, let's say, an AirPods case. That's what you're building now?
Both. We built, by now, we started 2 years ago. By now, we have a reliable working prototype of a contact lens that is able to show you picture. So basically, you can take it with your hand, look through this contact lens, and you will see a monochrome picture. Later, of course, it will be multicolor. So by now, we have a few prototypes of the contact lens, each indicating separate functions, providing picture, measuring biological parameters, etc., etc. We have been incredibly lucky to gather some of the brightest minds of modern physics and optics within one roof, under one roof. And we have already been recognized by BCG as top 5 optics labs in the world, and by Nature as top 10 research institutions in all fields of science in the UAE, United Arab Emirates, where we have our lab. Currently, there are 45 of us, 32 of whom are either physicists or engineers. And we intend to approach human trials of this gadget somewhere within 2026.
Okay, so right now what you have is a prototype or several prototypes, and you're working on developing that prototype into so that you can go into human trial in about 2 years.
Absolutely. We have an almost industrial grade prototype, and you're very welcome to check it on YouTube or our website or in press. We have been pretty open. We shared some pictures with the community. Or in case somehow you find yourself in Dubai, you're very much welcome to give me a call, to drop me a message, and I will be happy to invite you to our lab.
So tell me something. How does it work? So you said that right now it's a monochrome picture, and that you cannot really put it in your eye yet. You have to use it from outside, kind of, or?
Technically you can, but it is illegal. We need to conduct human trials before we try it on humans. But in case we would have been in some, so on another planet, I would say, where there are no legal restrictions, there you would be able to use it right now.
Okay. So you would be able to put it in just as a normal contact lens, and it would feel exactly the same as a normal contact lens?
Or? That's the whole idea behind the company, to create a gadget that will provide just a normal contact lens feeling. Because probably you've heard of our main, well, competitors, Mojolens, a deep tech company from California. We admire those guys. They were pioneers of this whole type of gadget. They done a substantial work, and their CEO, Drew Perkins, even appeared in front of the camera wearing a smart contact lens. They're incredible. We admire them. But they had a different strategy. They decided to create a rigid contact lens, so-called scleral contact lens, which is probably four times bigger than a normal hydrogen. We, on the contrary, we wanted to create a gadget for, you know, like probably I would say more broad market. So we decided to concentrate on a soft lens. But at the same time, we do try to create rigid lenses as well, because in some instances, like for example, wearing in space, you will need those rigid lenses. So basically, in space, astronauts, they are required to wear rigid contact lenses to help them improve intraocular pressure. They sleep in those lenses.
Ah, I didn't know that. So basically, the lens that provides the right pressure on the eye in space?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Astronauts in International Space Station, yes, they're obliged to wear rigid contact lenses while they sleep.
Mm. And that's the only function that the lens has at the moment.
Yes, absolutely. So why shouldn't we create this rigid contact lens, but with XR functions? And actually, one of the products we intend to develop in the future is a contact lens for spacemen, because there are huge amount of use cases in outer space for such a gadget. You can take a laptop there or a tablet.
Interesting. Okay, so let's go back to your main technology, that is this hydrogel contact lens, as far as I understand.
Hydrogel contact lens is just hydrogel is just a material from which the lens is built. The main technology behind our company is the ability to create new materials. Look at those gadgets we have now: phones, XR helmets, XR glasses, etc., etc. They're all big. They're all bulky. They're all not interchangeable. Now, most of them are ugly. Why? Why so? The answer is very simple. The generation of technology we have right now prevents us from creating small electronics. Why Apple Vision Pro is so big? Because you cannot put silicon-based chips onto a normal-looking glasses. You cannot put a... Why do they have this battery with this separate battery? Because in order to provide the amount of electricity required for such a gadget, you need a big battery. You cannot use a battery size like this. You need a big battery. So we as a company decided to skip the whole generation of technology and not to use lithium-ion batteries, not to use silicon-based chips. We decided to create our own materials, and to produce components of gadgets from those materials. My co-founder, Valentin, he appears to be one of the world's most well-known scientists in the field of nano-optics and new materials. And we have been incredibly lucky to gather a team that is able to create one atom thin materials. I'm not joking, they're literally one atom thin. You have probably heard about this, about that as two-dimensional materials, and probably heard the very hyped word graphene. This is one of the two-dimensional materials. Well, we as a company, we develop those two-dimensional materials, like two-dimensional acid gold, you name it. We develop new materials, transparent, thin enough, biocompatible, and able to provide electricity with a bigger speed than silicon is capable. Then we create components from these materials. That's our know-how. That is, the whole company emerged from a lab which developed new materials.
So can you give me an example of one of those new materials and how you're using them on, because the final product, as far as I understand, okay, the materials is the base of your technology, the main thing, but then the final product you want to bring to the consumer is a contact lens. So what? So just give me an example of what kind of material it's that you have sort of worked with or developed into that prototype of that contact lens that is unique or special.
Well, thing is that I cannot disclose the materials that were used in our components because that is the value of the company. But I can provide you with some reliable examples from the overall two-dimensional world. In some instances, in case properly produced, graphene may be 300 times more rigid than steel is. And for example, you can create some sort of protection for law enforcement out of this material, or in case you're crazy enough, you can build bridges out of this material, and they will be 300 times more rigid than the actual bridges we have right now. Thing is that, you know, we are a happy child appeared from a marriage of IT product company and a deep tech lab. And me as a tech entrepreneur, I had an idea of creating the next generation of computing. I just wanted to create the next computer of humanity. I approached the scientists that, in my opinion, would be able to help me to create such a gadget. And then we married this their capacity to create such components with my vision of the next generation of computing. Without this vision, we wouldn't have become a product company. There are plenty of deep tech companies out there in the field developing just new material or just a sensor. We, as Steve Jobs said, take a customer and then work backwards towards the technology. We were like, I want to create next computing device of humanity. What do I need in order to do that? And it just so appeared that in order to create such a gadget, I need very small components. How can I create small components? Well, I need new materials because I cannot create them out of silicon and lithium batteries. So I need a guy who is able to create new materials. It just so happened that, oh my God, like 13 years ago, two Russian scientists came in Novoselov. They received a Nobel Prize for discovering new properties of two-dimensional materials. And that is how graphene and the whole two-dimensional movement was created. And to be frank, became very hyped at a certain point, like 5 years ago. So I approached those scientists and, well, persuaded them that their scientific endeavors should be aimed at creation of the new computer, and not just writing scientific papers, but to try to create a gadget.
Okay, so you went to these scientists and you convinced them to basically put their whatever findings they had into practice. And from there on, basically combine this idea of solving a problem for the end consumer with the new advancements in research that are related to materials that can be miniaturized.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be able to formulate it better myself.
Okay. So tell me something. When you talk about the materials and materials being your technology and you working backwards at the same time from the client perspective, why did you come down to the future or part of the future of the human computers has to be in a lens?
Yeah.
Why do you think that's important?
Well, you see, my overall addiction to the idea of new computing, of new next generation of computing, started with the proper understanding that, well, humanity has set itself a few targets for the 21st century to radically improve quality of life and probably term of life, and to become interplanetary species. We will not be able to live 200 years or to travel to Mars with this kind of gadgets. You see, the overall human being is not capable of achieving those targets. And I really do believe that in order to achieve those targets, even 100-year targets, it's nothing. Not even a 1,000-year target, just 100 years. We need to create something that will evolve from the marriage of humans with technology. So basically, we need to create the next generation of humans using technology. And partly, it has already happened. Your smartphone is your memory. Your smartphone is the way to communicate with those locating on the other side of the planet. But the time has come to incorporate technology inside human body and to merge humans with technology. I know the sounds megalomaniac, but I really do believe that the next generation of computing is ecosystem of software and apps built directly into humans that humans can jointly operate using different interfaces. Let's put it very simple. In case you have Apple MacBook, iPhone, and I don't know, other Apple gadgets, Apple-made gadgets, you use same ecosystem of software and apps using different interfaces. I think that in 10 to 20 years, we will have spatial computers as sort of a bridge to neural interfaces. Before being fully emerged into the digital world, we will have spatial computers. Like, think of it as a Tony Stark. Bang, 3D world appears around you. You operate it by eyes, by voice, by gesture. You have your key point of contact, your Jarvis, your AI assistant. And this...
Sorry, did you say your jaw is your AI assistant?
Sure, absolutely.
How is that? What do you mean with that?
Well, I mean that the central standpoint of the next generation of computing appearing like from 5 to 10 years will definitely be a generative AI. You will use this sort of technology to provide commands and to perform any type of interaction with the content, be it a movie or the necessity to open your door. In my ideal world, you will just think, Lance, open my car, and my son will be able to open the car. And I'm in California, my car is in Berlin, and I just think, open my car, and the car is opened, and my son is able to take groceries out of the car.
I don't know if I misunderstand, but you said Jaw AI. So is it mainly thoughts that trigger an action in this future scenario, or is it also voice, or you have different kinds of ways of interacting with it?
First of all, the first thing we will have in a few years is controlling gadgets with a glance. Then it comes voice and gestures. Then, of course, the holy grail is mind, is just to operate everything by thought. I admire companies like Neuralink trying to facilitate this future, trying to contribute to this future. But on a personal level, I'm not quite sure that current generation of humans will be widely okay with installing something inside their heads. And here, non-invasive neural interfaces come into stage. And contact lens might be, and actually is, one of those non-invasive neural interfaces. Let's not forget that the eye is a part of the brain. The eye is directly connected to the brain. With a contact lens, you may take like shit ton of information about the overall well-being of the human, and you will definitely be able to take commands from the brain with a lens.
Give me an example. Let's say you're wearing one of your contact lenses in 10 years from now, and it's a normal day. You go out of your apartment, and what can you do with that contact lens?
Thing is, imagine you can do anything. I mean, literally anything. You leave your apartment, you need to lock your door. Just lock my door. Then open my car, turn my car on, ignite my car. I need to, I don't know, pay for groceries. Well, of course I can pay with my face. Of course I can pay with my retina. But, well, there are at least three types of security layers. Then, of course, you will be able to instantly get any type of information about everything in your world, like starting from what is that? Oh, it's a jumper made by H&M in 2017. It may be bought on there. Ending with who is that? Oh, that's, I don't know, Jeremy Smith. He's 33 years old. He works as a plumber. His Facebook is there. Well, of course, here comes a very, very sensitive thing about personal information, but I think humanity has already preserved this question, and we have a lots of laws specializing in this domain. Then you will be able to measure all your biological parameters, and receive advice. Not just, you know, like not Apple Watch-ish advice, like your blood pressure is high, but the advice, like the lens sees something and tells you, oh, here's Roman Axelrod, reduce the amount of chat. Don't talk to him. He irritates you.
Okay.
So when you talk to him too much, your blood pressure becomes high and you feel bad for the rest of the day. I mean, this type of advice.
Can you also, I guess you could also zoom in and zoom out and stuff like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Zoom and night vision are my love songs.
Mm. Okay. And tell me something. When I guess the battery is one of those things that, let's say, are essential and maybe more complex to to integrate? How do you see that?
Well, actually, this is kind of funny because this gadget needs a very little amount of energy. The key problem behind XR glasses and helmets is the amount of energy they need to function and to provide good quality of the picture. This gadget requires so little energy that basically basic use cases are fed with the energy acquired from a human body.
Like fluids or what?
No, the heat of the body. Then it comes to tear fluid. Let's not forget that there are plenty of salt in tear fluid. This may be used as fuel as well. Then it comes to solar energy, of course.
You mean like if I look at the sun, I recharge my lenses kind of thing?
Absolutely. Well, basically, if you look at you don't need to look directly at the sun. You just need to use the lens while the sun.
To open your eyes, basically.
Yes, basically to open your eyes. Correct. And the fourth thing, which is very important as well, is wireless transmission of the energy. It is widely adopted already in cardio simulators. So basically, you will be able to charge your lens wirelessly. And we put many efforts in trying to, I have to emphasize like 100 times, we do not have it yet. But we try to grant the lens with the ability to charge from the Wi-Fi. So basically, every time you're within the Wi-Fi connection, you charge your gadget. Then, of course, you come home, you take them off, you put them onto this companion device, and they charge in this companion device while you sleep.
But tell me something, the computing power, the computing processing, it's in this companion device, or is it shared in both devices, or where is that?
No. Think about the lens as about the screen.
Screen, yeah, okay.
You will have your computing power and the means of contacting global network installed in a companion device. Well, within the first years, it of course may be your smartphone. Why not? We do not. We really do believe that the next generation of computing is an ecosystem of software and apps, and you will have multiple interfaces for multiple use cases and life scenarios. You may use your, I don't know, projector or your glasses or your helmet while in the office. You use your lens while jogging or while driving a bike or whatever, or doing sports. And we do not intend to kill other interfaces. We just want to provide humans with an interface for a very narrow use, as now we have at least two interfaces, like a laptop and a flat screen phone. Well, in 5 to 10 years, we will have at least 2 to 3 interfaces. We believe that smart contact lens is one of them. And we specifically decided to start with contact lenses because there aren't many trying to create it. It's just too complicated. And in case you want to create, to contribute to future computers, and the overall idea of creating a company was to create a company that will contribute to future of computing, and to future computers, and to creation of next. Sorry, I know it sounds megalomaniac, but the overall idea was to create a company that will help create next generation of humans by merging them with computing technology. That was the overall idea.
Basically transhumans.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Both myself and my co-founder, Valentin, are huge fans of transhumanism. And, well, we really do believe that it will happen inevitably.
All right. And so Do you think, in that same line of thought, do you think that there will be a virtual layer everywhere? Forests, deep oceans, in the air, you know, pilots, or maybe not pilots anymore, but in the air when you're like in a plane or whatever. Are virtual layers going to be everywhere?
Absolutely. I think that we will see the competition of two conceptions. First, virtual layer everywhere. Basically, everything becomes your screen.
Walls, a kitchen, countertop, everything.
Even yourself, everything. And, well, the very first idea before starting a company, I explored the possibility to send via visual contact directly onto the eye to without any lenses or interfaces. Just, you know, I wanted a gadget that will screencast the contact the content directly onto the inside my head. But then I found out that it's by now it's impossible, and decided that I will concentrate on the lens. So thing is that everything we're talking about is sort of a dark age of gadgets. Truly, humanity waits for a next generation of gadget that will merge humans with internet. And personally, I'm absolutely convinced that it will happen when neural interfaces will become widely adopted. At this point of time, the overall concept of human body and having a body, having a healthy body, will become a luxury. So
why do you say that?
Well, I think that in 50 to 100 years, the whole concept of having a normal functioning human body will be something like having a sport car right today, or a boat or a yacht. Why do you need that? You may just lie in your capsule like the Matrix. Like in Matrix movie, you may just remain in your capsule and conduct your all kinds of your activities from that capsule being plugged into this neural interface. And you might wish to take a real world walk using your body. But this, I think, will be considered as a luxury. And Here comes, I have a lot of ideas about body sharing and, well...
Please share them. What is that? What do you mean with body sharing?
Well, check, there's a great movie, not movie, great TV series, Altered Carbon. They imagine the whole concept of... interplanetary connections as sending the not the body of the human, but the information that a human consists of, just to send this information wirelessly from one planet to another and to download it to a different body that is located on the different planet.
What is it called? What's it called? What's the name of the series again?
Altered Carbon.
Okay.
So I may envision a future when three or four young men will buy a body share of a young, beautifully looking person to go to a real world and to share it between like Friday is yours, Monday is mine. Well, I'm sure you get
okay,
it.
Okay, I see.
But it's very Elon Muskish. It's Elon Musk. Apartment. It will happen from it will happen in 50 years probably, and the next generation of computing is of course spatial, is a screen, either everything as a screen or a screen directly onto the person.
So both worlds will coexist, in your opinion?
Absolutely. At some within the next 20, 30 years, both worlds will coexist, and then the digital world will start prevailing. And eventually we will be all emerged into one single network of information.
And that would be the next sort of generation of human beings that are not Homo sapiens anymore, but...
I would say that at this point we will be close to losing the overall concept of a human being as something separate from this network.
Tell me something. Do you ever doubt if our physical capabilities are designed to cope with the amount of information that right now the digital world feeds us with? Like, you see a lot of people burning out, you see a lot of stress. Mental health is a big thing right now. And I think, and it's proven by science, that there's a lot of this comes from so much information that we have to consume or deal with, and it's almost there's no way out to it. And I feel like this path to that world that you're just describing will take a toll on our health.
Absolutely. You know, I have a very good example illustrating your theory. My grandfather, who has passed away a few years ago, he was born in early 30s. So he lived the vast majority of his life with no computers. So, and of course, the amount of information he consumed during his 85 years on planet Earth was probably even less that I have already consumed, and I'm 33. So my grandfather was able, as he was 85 years old, like three, four months before he passed away, he was able to tell by heart the poem he learned at school 65 years ago. 65 years ago, he learned a poem at school. The poem is huge. It's like 30 PDF pages. Yet, he was able to tell it by heart 65 years after that, after the moment he learned it. I can't even remember where my keys are. Yes, definitely, human brain has its capacity. And that is why, actually, I tell my younger brothers and sisters to learn not to use... They're at high school, and I tell them not to use GPT so much and to try to learn formulas, try to learn math, and try to think, because your brain has, well, a certain amount of capacity. And since you're young and you still have some amount of this capacity, you should fill it with good stuff and not scrolling TikToks.
Right. Well, that's a big concern as well. And on that same note, I wanted to ask you, if you were in your late teens or early 20s, what advice would you give to yourself?
Oh my God. To myself or to anyone who is like 20 years?
Well, anyone that is listening right now, for example, that is maybe finishing school or starting university.
Don't listen too much to your parents and to your friends. just a quick example. In case I would have listened myself and not my father. He's a great man. He dedicated his life to his family, but he wasn't even able to imagine that someone can start such a business as I do now. It wasn't just on within his mind, but he wanted me to become an engineer, to become a physicist, to become an engineer, to work hard, to make a good career like himself. And he's very successful, career-wise, he's very successful. But I was always, and I followed his advice because I respected him immensely, and I still do respect. But I always felt that I'm making a movie with my eyes. That's not me. It happens with someone else. And in case I would have listened myself, my gut, my heart, to my real intentions, what do I really do want to do in my with my life, I would have started my first company way earlier than I did. So don't listen to society, don't listen to your parents, don't listen to your loved ones. Listen to yourself.
It's hard to listen to yourself also, especially with all those that information that comes in more and more even.
Yes, it's especially hard. And my God, don't listen to social networks. Do not believe what you see in social networks. Do not spend time, do not spend your emotions. Do not let the world influence your judgments. In case you want to be, you know, you clearly want to be a doctor, you want to save lives, but Instagram tells you, man, you can't live without Rolls Royce. What? Well, the purpose of life of a doctor is not to have a Rolls Royce, it's to save lives. The purpose of a life of entrepreneur is to contribute to, at least deep tech entrepreneur, is to contribute to the overall humanity in the domain he has chosen, like biotech or hard tech or deep tech or whatever, I don't know. Just take responsibility for yourself and make your own decisions. Listen, of course you should listen to advice, especially to advice from those who love you. But after acquiring all those advices and information, just be honest with yourself and take your own decisions.
Tell me something, Roman. How do you think the world will look like in 50 years from now?
Well, I have a few ideas about that. And, well, during past 50 years, like 50 to 100 years, especially Western Christian civilization had always had a feeling and understanding that the next generation is going to live better than your generation. Today, I'm afraid we do not have this feeling. To be honest, I am really afraid of the world. My son is 3 years old, and I am really afraid of the world he's going to live in. So, thing is that I hope that the world will be a better place, but there are too many indicators that life actually is going to be worse. And I really do think that in order to prevent this, humanity has to put aside all those stupid conflicts and wars, especially right now with Israel and Ukraine and African outbreaks and, all cruel stuff happening across the globe. I really do think that humans have to put those things aside to work together to try to prevent the future as we know it from science fiction movies.
Okay, interesting.
From the technological standpoint of view, I have already spent probably 10 minutes describing this overall concept of computer humanity.
Yeah, tell me something. Where can people know more about you and Expansio? How can they reach you if they want to talk to you? If they want to try the contact lenses, what can they do?
Well, first of all, there's my page in LinkedIn and company page in LinkedIn. Then our website, those are the places to acquire the latest infos, the latest updates about our journey. In case you want to contact me, I'm really open to chat. Just do not hesitate to message me in LinkedIn or in Instagram or probably Telegram. In any of those networks, you will find myself as at Roman Axelrod, just my name. So my nickname in Instagram and Telegram and LinkedIn is just my name, at Roman Axelrod. in case you travel to Middle East, in case you're in Dubai, please do knock at my door, and I will be more than happy to show you our lab. Our lab is located in the internet city of Dubai, just across, just on the opposite side of Google office, so it's very easy to find.
Just one last question, Roman. Why did you choose Dubai? Why are you based in Dubai?
First of all, we really do like the way leadership of the country sees the future. And they have really proven themselves to not just to visualize, but to proactively work towards their specific vision of the future. 30 years ago, there was basically nothing here. Today, this place is one of the best cities in the world, one of the most open-minded cities in the world. Then it is very convenient from the logistics point of view. 8 hours to London, 8 hours to Singapore, 8 hours to New York, 8 hours to Tokyo, 8 hours to basically anywhere. Then we do see a pattern of best scientific minds migrating to UAE or Saudi Arabia because of the tax, because of the climate, because of the quality of life, of course, because it's very clean, very safe. Of course, you need to be prepared for harsh 3 months of summer. But apart from that, it's a great place to live.
Right. Okay. Well, Roman, it was a pleasure to have you. I hope one day we can meet up and try on your contact lenses. I would love that.
I would love that as well.
Have a good day. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Have a good day. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Ciao.
Here at the Mr. Rad Show, we provide first-hand information straight from the original source of knowledge. The personal opinions of our guests don't necessarily reflect those of Mr. Rad. This show is brought to you by The Rad House, an unbiased, transparent, agendaless, independent media house. Our theme music is written and produced by Marco Mello.